Hey, 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 welcome to the Psalms of My Emotions podcast. I am your host, Relinda, and I am here as your coach, your spiritual advisor, to guide you through your healing while dropping some spiritual wisdom Jesus nuggets. The Psalms of My Emotions comes from my testimony of overcoming emotional turmoil that ultimately led me to my purpose. And my prayers for this podcast is that it will lead you all that are listening to your purpose while gaining the tools in the podcast for your healing. Let us hop right into another episode and let the healing begin. Hey, 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 everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Psalms of My Emotions podcast. It is not Emotion Monday. It is Tuesday. So we're going to call this Emotion Tuesday today. All right. So I thank you guys for tuning in. This may have thrown some of you off guard for today because usually I'm on here on Mondays. You know, I try to be I was so tired yesterday, and sometimes I think that's like the testings, right, of God and how he works, right? He kind of puts a little bit of more pressure, you know, so you can do what he wants you to do, right? So I was just so tired. I know I still should have got on here yesterday, but I'm like, I'm going to do it tomorrow, because sometimes when a word just sits, you know, on your spirit for so long, you know, you feel like you're going to burst sometimes. So I thank you guys for tuning in. For those that are catching on the replay, welcome to Emotion Tuesday. For those of you that have never tuned into this podcast, whether it be virtually or on the podcast streaming channels, Emotion Mondays or Emotion Tuesday, as for today. Emotion is a play on words. E is electronic. Motion is movement. And this is the day, you know, the time that I literally address the elephant in the room, whether it be with your emotions, something that God gives me, right? Because a lot of times when God gives you something, it's not always rainbows and unicorns and things. It's not always happy-go-lucky. It doesn't always feel good. And God sometimes has to cut us sometimes in order for us to heal right, to go in a position and go into a place that he wants us to be. So sometimes that's how God works. And what he does is he addresses, you know, the elephant in the room, what everybody sees, what everybody deals with, but nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to deal with it because it's uncomfortable. You know, God has put that mandate on my shoulders, whether in this podcast and not just on this podcast, how I live my life, right? Some people, it's uncomfortable to speak with me sometimes because I can be direct and I can only say what God gives me to say, right? And the things that God gives me, say it is in a loving manner, even though we don't want to accept it and it doesn't feel good. So I thank you for trusting me for the assignment. This does also stream live on my YouTube channel, the Psalms of My Emotions podcast, my Facebook group, the Psalms of My Emotions podcast. I try to be consistent. And later on, it will upload for audio for those that can't watch the video, or, you know, you just like listening to your podcast in your car. It's available just to search for the Psalms of My Emotions podcast, and you can listen in your car or wherever you are at on your phone. You don't have to view the video. You don't have to go to my YouTube channel. It will be there. Okay. So we're just going to go right into today's nuggets, Jesus nuggets, as I call them. And it is the dangers of forgoing your rehab space. Now, God has been dealing with me about this and wanted me to talk about this with you all today, about your rehab space, right? I almost call this the middle ground, right? There's this space where you end up being, as you're walking in Christ, there's this space that you're in where you know, you're delivered, you've made a decision, and then you're in this space of kind of not really operating in your purpose. You're trying to find out, but you're just in this space of just trying to figure it out. It's this middle ground. It's this weird place. It's this space that I have observed a lot of people just want to hurry up and get out of it, right? It's this space where it's uncomfortable. It could be confusing. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of consistency. It takes a lot out of you, you know, and it almost makes it seem as if, you know, bad things are happening to you because maybe of something that you did. And it's not even bad things. And I'll get into that in a little bit. And what's funny about today is that I have absolutely no notes, right? Usually I'll have little things jot down, but I have no notes because this has been on my heart and this has been in my mind all week to talk about this rehab space. So first, you guys know I'm a definition person. Let's get into the definition of what actually rehabilitation is. I wrote it down, but I think I want to look it up just to make sure, because sometimes I can't read my own handwriting. It's crazy. Rehabilitation definition. So the definition of rehabilitation is the action of restoring someone to health or normal life through training and therapy after imprisonment, addiction, or illness. It is the action of restoring someone to former privileges or reputation after a period of disfavor. It is the action of restoring something that has been damaged to its former condition. So, you know, when I speak about that rehab space, like I said, if you're just coming into Christ, right, just coming out of a bad place in your life, you know, Sometimes we feel that when you get delivered, that's it. You know, after you get delivered, you know, after, you know, you hand over your things to God, you hand over whatever issues you have to God for him to kind of clean you up. That's what that deliverance is. It's like he's saving you from your bondage. He's saving you from that imprisonment that you have been in for a while, right? Because it wore you out. It's tiring. You're just emotional. You're all over the place. He likes to, you know, clean you up, and that's deliverance. But just because you are delivered does not mean that you can easily turn away from habits or how you are used to living life, right? It's not that easy. So, you know, as a descriptor of what that is, I've never been in drug rehab or rehabilitation places. But like I said, reading from the definition, you know, is to restore someone to health or normal life, right? Through training and therapy, is restoring someone to former privileges, you know, it's what is it? Through training and therapy after imprisonment, addiction, or illness. When we are in a state, even before Christ, I don't know if anyone can testify. I know I can. Before Christ, you know, I can look back in hindsight and say, wow, I was in bondage, right? I was in an imprisonment, right? There was an illness going on. It was addiction to things that, you know, I didn't, you know, you don't even know how it happens, right? When you get addicted to stuff or when you're just stuck in a place, you know, when you come out, you're like, how did I get there, right? So when you think of rehab places, like I said, I've never been in a drug rehab place or anything like that. But I can imagine, you know, like I said, when you come in, you go through detox, right? You go through detox and then you're kind of ridding your body of the toxins and things that you've had in your body so that you could, your mind could be able to be in a state where it can be, like I said, rehabilitated, right? So after that is done, I don't know how long it takes, 30 days or so, you get cleansed out. So now you have to be in this isolated place for a while. You know, and everyone is different. Whatever you need to recover is different. The time that you need in this rehabilitation place is different for everybody. Some people, it may take a year. It may take 2 years, right? It may take a couple of months. You don't know. It depends on the depth of how addicted you are or how addicted you've been. So after the cleansing out, they're in this, you know, people are in this isolated place. And sometimes the addiction, the rehab centers, you know, are really nice, right? You have, I don't know about all of them, but some of them, you know, they're really nice. You have your room, you know, looks nice. You have outside areas where you can do activities, right? Like it's your life. You're reprogramming yourself back, right? To how you're living life without drugs or without addictions, right? Before you got yourself in bondage, you're trying to reprogram your mind into living life. But it's isolated, right? It's not necessarily the real world. It's so isolated where, you know, there are no drugs. There's nothing to tempt you. There's nothing there. You know, you're just in this isolated space where you're just getting reprogrammed, right? So I wanted to give that definition, and some of you are probably already connecting it together, but God wants you guys to know, first of all, do you even know if you are in a rehabilitation space? Do we know what that is and what that looks like being a Christian, right? I think we don't understand that space. That space seems like a space of, God, what are you doing? God, get me away from here. God, I don't want to be in this space no more. I'm not even seeing where you want me to go. You're telling me that I'm going to do this and I'm going to be here and there. Or my purpose is this, but I'm in this middle ground. I'm in this rehab space. And it doesn't seem like, it just seems like everything is standing still. It just seems like time is standing still. I don't understand why I have to, you know, why I'm feeling this way or why you have me sitting here, right? In my emotions, right? You have me sitting here in this confused space. You have me trying to discover who I am. You know, I'm doing these little jobs or these little things that it don't seem like that's going to connect to what you have me doing, right? And like I said, by my observation, I just see a lot of people just forgoing that rehabilitation space with God, that middle ground, right? That space with God, that God, you know, you know what it was like when you were in prison. You know what it was like when you were out there in the world. And once you got delivered, he has to reprogram your mind because it is something that was happening in your mind and in your spirit and in your heart that led you to those things in the first place, right? That doesn't go away just because you surrendered yourself to God, just verbally, just saying, God, okay, I want to live for you. It doesn't stop right there. It's a middle ground. And like I said, it's different for everybody, right? The development, the molding is different for everyone, but some people are impatient with their rehabilitation. And if I can tie this into Bible, right? When I was thinking about it today, I was thinking about the children of Israel, right? We always call that place a wilderness where, you know, they were trying to go to the promised land. God promised them, you're going to go to this land that I promise, right? And it took them so long to get there because they just kept repeating cycles. They just kept mumbling and complaining, right? That space, that wilderness space was the rehabilitation. That was their rehab because they were in bondage for so long and they learned the ways of Egypt, right? They learned the ways of Egypt. They learned to adapt to the food, to the culture, you know, that's not so easy to, when somebody takes you out and say, okay, now you're going to go here. It's not so easy to say, I'm done with it and I'm not going to do it anymore, right? There has to be a reprogramming of the mind, right? A body and the spirit. And the reason why God took them into that desert was to bring them back to him because he knows how the flesh is, right? But it took them so long because they were so stubborn. They were so hard-headed that they didn't even see themselves being in the space of being wrong. They just thought, we're in bondage. You freed us, God. Now take us to where you said we're going to go. But there's a process to that. And I think as Christians, we forgo that space, right? We want to be where God wants us to be right away. but don't understand the transformation spiritually, what has to happen. You cannot skip that space. You cannot forgo that space, because if you get to where God has told you he wanted you to be at, in the space he wants you to be at, in the purpose he wants you to be at, you're going to more than likely mess it up. You're going to more than likely, you know, and God is such a good God, you know, destroy yourself getting there too fast, right? Because you missed that stage of development. You missed your rehabilitation space, that space where God is trying to connect you and mold you to be like him, right? That's a dangerous space. You know, God is not going to, if you are all over the place with your emotions, right? And I can speak of the testimony, right? That's why it's the Psalms of my emotions. You could be all over the place with your emotions, right? And God says, okay, well, I have you to do this. God is not going to let you, if you are not resolved in your emotions, it's going to be dangerous for you to take you being all over the place in your emotions and to this place he wants you to go, right? You're going to mess it up. You're not going to be able to fulfill the assignment, and you are also capable of opening a door, you know, for the enemy to come in. Because look, I'm going to tell y'all no secret, right? The enemy loves for you to remain injured. The enemy loves for you to be in an injured space, for you to be hurt. And I was listening to something today where, you know, the woman was saying how, you know, the scripture where the enemy roams around like a roaring lion, seeking to see who he can devour, right? So you think about it. If you are hurt, if you are just in a vulnerable space, an emotional space, how easy it is for the enemy to get you, right? You're injured. Your emotions is just all over the place. You're bleeding all over the place. Now is leaving room for the enemy to come in and do what he wants to do. And God is trying to put you in this space to bring people to him. How are you going to do that if you got a door open for the enemy, right? You got a door open for all attacks to come in. You know, he's protecting you when you're in this rehabilitation space, right? And in this rehabilitation space, he gives you these tests, right? God tests. He does not tempt. God gives you tests. And you'll know when you don't pass the test because you'll keep repeating the cycles, right? You keep encountering the same thing. Like, you know, even in dating, you'll keep dating the same person, but in a different body, right? If God is trying to get you away from depending on dating or worshiping, being with someone, and you just keep, you know, just in this space where you can't be alone, you can't be by yourself, guess what? You're going to keep on running into the same person in a different body over and over and over again, because you have not been in a space where it's like, well, I'm going to take this time to get myself together. This person can't possibly fulfill what I need, right? This person can't possibly fulfill this God hole. And a lot of times you don't even know that it's a God hole in this rehab space. But God is trying to muddle that out, you know, so then you can detect God. Oh my goodness, all this time that I was in the world, I was looking for you, right? You surpass all my expectations. You have exceeded all my expectations because I am now in you. And this is what happens when you're in that rehabilitation space. You discover that God is everything. You discover that God can fulfill all your needs. Everything that scripture says, you start to get all of that in that rehabilitation space. You're getting fed what God always wanted you to eat on, because we were so used to eating things that were in the world, and we found out that it left us hungry, that it left us thirsty, right? Nothing quenched our thirst. Nothing quenched our hunger. It's just that, and we kept going after it because we don't know what we want. We know we're hungry. We know we want something, but these material things is not it, right? So then you go through a detox, and then God pulls you to himself in this rehab space. And then you'll find out, God, you were all that I needed. I am no longer thirsty. I am no longer hungry, right? Because you have trained my mind and my spirit to want you. And guess what? Because you train my mind and my spirit to want you, it's fulfilling everything. I'm not anxious for nothing, right? I just feel so full. You know, he does this in this rehab space because he's taking you away from things of the world. And this rehab space consists of, you know, worship. It consists of prayer. It consists of a seek, right, for him. And it takes a while. Look, this flesh and this mind is something else. It's not going to be automatic. It's going to take time. But like I said, I believe a lot of us forgo this, like it's not necessary. This rehabilitation space is necessary for your purpose. For those that are looking to, they know that they need to, that you need to be in your purpose. You need to find your purpose, right? And you have expressed that desire to God. And then now it just seems you feeling this squeeze, you feeling this tug, you feeling, you know, all of this opposition. You could be in a rehabilitation space. Because you have that desire to now, God, I want what you want for me. I want to know why I'm here. I want to know why I'm breathing. Guess what? Now here comes the transformation. Now here comes the reforming of the mind. You are now entering into, or you have now entered into a rehabilitation space. God is now training you, right? For things of him. He's training you, right? To get more into him. And so we don't like that training. It's challenging. It's hard. God, I can't be going in the right direction because this is hurting. And sometimes the thing with healing, sometimes the healing can hurt worse than the wound, right? It can hurt worse than the actual affliction. Sometimes healing can hurt worse than what happened to you. Because it's uncomfortable. It's a space that you've never been, right? And sometimes, and that's what that rehabilitation space is, it's a healing space. And I know this is like basically the ground roots to, you know, the Psalms of My Emotions is to really help people deal with that emotional turmoil, right? Deal, because emotions just isn't just a feeling or just something that you can get over or that it's going to disappear in time. Emotions are just so powerful enough that, you know, if unattended, you know, it can do something to your spirit. It leaves, and like I explained earlier, it leaves a door open for the enemy. It leaves a door open for the devil to step right in, right? And deter you and detour you to a purpose and to a will, you know, that is not the will of God. It can push you because you're going off how you feel. And then I posted a post that I made that said, how you feel is not real, right? How you feel is not real, because we can feel a lot of things. And then, you know, our feelings are so roller coaster. It could be here one day. It goes by the minute, by the day. It's so topsy-turvy. You can't depend on it to navigate you, right? That's why God asks us to be, you know, a sober mind, right? We have to be sober-minded. We have to be clear in God's plan. And sometimes it don't feel good, right? That doesn't mean that you can't express your emotions, but you don't let it guide you, right? That doesn't mean if something makes you sad, you don't cry. That doesn't mean that if something makes you mad, I mean, you just, you know, God, that made me angry. That doesn't mean that you can't express how you feel, but you can't let it guide you. You can't let it lead you, right? Because then you have made your emotions your God, right? I don't even know why I'm just going towards that way, but you can idolize how you feel, and it can lead you into the wrong path in the wrong direction. So, like I said, God was just putting this so heavy on me that, you know, he was like, let them know that this uncomfortability, this uncomfortable space, this space of I don't know which way to go. He says, you're in a rehab. He says, let them know that they're in a rehab center. They're in a rehabilitation. They're in a isolated situation that it doesn't feel good, but just know that, let them know that I'm here, right? If you know and reassure yourself that God is present, even in this transformation, even in this forming, it will give you the confidence and boost to continue, right? It will give you the confidence and boost to continue on in the things of God, right? So I love it. Listen, because, you know, I wanted to speak about this because I'm kind of on the transitioning on the opposite end of it. I don't know. I've explained it a little bit to you guys here on before, but not really in depth. But as far as, you know, I'm transitioning in this season and, you know, my home is and I kind of loosely say it, you know, to my family and to my friends that, you know, it's like, it's my rehabilitation center, you know, where I've, you know, went through a divorce, did all these things, right? Depression, you know, in this transition, even going into God, into the things of God, and walking in the path of purpose happened in this house, not knowing that I was in an isolated situation, not knowing that God has designated this place, my house, as a rehabilitation center, an isolated environment for development. And I did not know that, right? Now I'm knowing, right? I'm knowing now that this is, you know, my isolated place. But experiencing it, I just wanted to leave it. You know, I wanted to leave this space. I don't want to, you know, I just felt like I was in a battle, right, within my home. And when you think of home, you think of, okay, well, this is where, you know, you should have peace. And I did have peace. But the thing was, it wasn't like how I thought. God was reforming and transforming me while I was living here. And like I said, this was my rehabilitation center. God used this space, this isolated space, to get me together, right? He used the space to heal me. He used the space for deliverance. He used the space as a worship place. He used this space, you know, this is my sanctuary. He used this space to teach me, you know, just to get in total devotion to him. He pushed me into a space of purpose, right? He used this space to train me in purpose, you know, but now, right? Now I'm in this other space where now it's time to leave the rehabilitation center, right? And the dangerous thing about when you're in a rehabilitation center and you've been there for a while, you start to think and convince yourself that it's home, that it's your permanent space, right? So I'm going to talk about a little bit on the opposite end of it. Now, you need that space, but do you know when it's time to leave it, right? Because, you know, I'm comfortable, right? I'm healed, I'm whole. You know, everything is going, you know, the way that I think it should go. And then God tells you, okay, now go out there in the real world. Go out there and do what I told you to do. And I'm just like, this is the real world. He's like, this is not what I intended for you. This was just a holding space. And a lot of us don't like that holding space that God puts us in, right? Because the holding space could feel like bondage. The holding space could feel like the devil is just getting you from all corners, right? All angles. He giving the best that he can got. He has, or best that he can give, whatever. It feels like that, but really God is just putting his hands upon you. He's molding you, right? He's pressing in areas that you didn't even want to be touched. And he's making sure so that when you leave here, you can finally be in this space that he has already intended for you. But God has intended for all of you a rehab space. It may not be what I just described, what my rehab space is. Like, it's my house. It was my place of dwelling. But your rehab space, you know, it's pretty much where you're at right now, right? It's where you're at right now. It's in the space of development. And then the thing of the enemy is that he will trick you to want to leave your rehabilitation space. He will trick you to believe that you have nothing else that needs to be worked on. That is a deception of the enemy, right? You know, you have to consult with God and your checkpoints that he has with you concerning you and where you're supposed to be, right? You can't say, oh, I'm good at, no, you got to check with God. God, is this it that you want to do with me? This season, what you want to do? You can't go by how you feel, right? Like I said, how you feel is not real. And, you know, there are probably three checkpoints that I've had or I've experienced in my house where I'm just like, okay, God, you worked on this. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go into my purpose, right? I'm ready to be where you want me to be. And then maybe a couple months later, he like, I got to tweak something else. I'm like, okay, I got to be here this space, you know, some more. And then you go through that and you're like, okay, God. And then he'll come to you in prayer or worship or whatever. And he'll be like, okay, now work on this. And still ain't told you nothing connected to your purpose. You know, ain't told you nothing. Or he gives you, I call it breadcrumbs. He gives you, along with him molding you, it's like he gives you these little tasks. And he's really testing you on your obedience, right? He's testing you on your obedience. He's giving you these little tasks to do. You know, like I said about the rehabilitation center, I'm pretty sure, like I said, I've never been in one, that they give them assignments to do. And these assignments, they have to do it because it aids in molding their spirit. It helps in cleansing their soul, right? So they have to complete these tests, these assignments. Like I know, like with, you know, this is just research, you know, that they have to make amends or something. Like they have to write and apologize, send notes and send letters to people that they've hurt or something and said that, you know, that they were sorry. You know, they're making amends. They're trying to repair that breach or whatever that they did when they, you know, didn't know when they were in this space of, I don't know what's going on, right? Before they came into that rehabilitation center. You know, they hurt people. They've done things that they did out of their mind, right? They were out of their mind. They just didn't know where they were. We can attest to that. You know, before we came into Christ, now looking in hindsight, I know we can go back and be like, Lord, where was I at? How did I get there? Right. And you go back and sometimes you'll think and be ashamed, right, of things that you did in your space of instability, right, in your space of addiction, in your space of illness, right, in your space of bondage. You feel bad and you feel ashamed. So then in this rehabilitation space, right, that God will have you in is that you make amends. You repent. You repent and you turn away from it, right? So God is saying that to, you know, to a lot of you, to don't rush that space, but also do the work to progress so that when it is time for you to leave that rehabilitation center, your rehabilitation space, right? You'll be ready to go to be in your purpose. But then that's the other thing. Like I was, you know, talking about my space, you know, where now God is kicking me out of my rehabilitation space. You're not going to feel ready to go out and do what you need to do. Because now it's like, I'm so used to this isolated space, God. You were giving me these little tasks and at first they were hard, but now it's easy. Like I could kick them out. Like it ain't a thing for me to do it. But now he's telling you to go on to something else. He says, you're equipped for it. I've molded you for it. You're healed for it. You're whole for it. And now you're scared to step out into the real world, right? You're scared to step out into this space that God wants you to be in, but you got to leave because there's a danger in staying in a rehabilitation space too long. You have made a non-permanent home your home, right? It's a dangerous space because now all that what God had put in you is not being used, right? It's staying within you. It's not being used. because we don't want to leave what we've made a home, where God said, I just molded you in this space. You were never intended to stay here, right? You have gotten too big for this space. I'm expanding you. And I'm talking to myself. I've expanded you. You are too big for this space. And you're looking at it like, you know, God was telling me I'm too big for this space because he's told me that, right? And I'm like, you know, I'm by myself. God, you know, my house is, you know, enough room. So it's not literal, but in the spirit, right? I've expanded to a space I can't fit, right? I can't stay in this area. I can't stay here, right? Because if I stay here, it's going to smother me. If I stay here, it's going to diminish what God has put in me. And then I'm quenching the spirit, right? I'm quenching what all God has put in me. So I got to go, right? And the thing that I realized today, I said, God, your timing is so perfect. God will tell you when it's time to leave your rehab space. If you are concerned about progressing and moving forward to God, God will tell you the seasons and when they end. You know, that's a good thing about seasons and the seasons that you're in. You know, seasons don't last forever, right? You know, with our natural seasons, they last, what, 3 months or so? It's quarters. You know that, like right now, we're transitioning into spring. You know, your winter could be terrible. But at least you know you have the promise that spring is coming, right? And then spring, it might be too rainy. I'm tired of this rain. You have the promise to know that summer is coming. Then summer, right? It gets too hot. Oh, Lord, I'm tired of this heat. You have the promise to know that fall is coming. You know, that's going to cool off in a little bit. Lord, okay, I just want it to be the holiday season. You know, I want to be with my family, blah, blah, blah. You have the promise to know that winter is coming. And that's how God works with us. And he always tells us and talks about seasons all the time in the Bible with us. He knows that if we know that there's seasons, we know that there's going to be a change coming. What you're experiencing now is not going to be exactly where you are unless you choose to be stuck in that space. So your rehabilitation space is a seasonal space. You're not supposed to stay there, right? Because it's going to become uncomfortable being comfortable. That's crazy. You're going to be uncomfortable being comfortable. You know, I work from home. You know, like I said, I'm in a space where it's fine. But God makes it so uncomfortable. Like, I don't even want to do the work that I do, right? It's just, I'm bored. I'm not challenged. You know, I want to do something else. This ain't getting it, you know, no more. And it's like, he makes you tired. So anyways, just to testify of how I know it's time to go, not because of necessarily men and women of God, you know, tell me, or, you know, it was in prayer. I remember maybe about 4 or 5 years ago, I was in my room. I think I came out of this space of depression, right? I was in my room getting everything together. And I said, God, you're going to make me move. You're going to make me leave this house. So that was my first inclination that God was saying, don't get comfortable in this space, right? So then, you know, my mind was like, okay, eventually, but in my mind, I'm thinking it's going to happen in the way that I want it to happen, right? But not knowing that God was preparing me along the way to be able to leave this space. So then today, I was thinking, I'm like, God, you know, you are perfect in your ways and your timing. So my address, it totals up to the number 12. You add up all the numbers, it adds up to 12, right? So I'm like, okay, God, you know, that means finality. You know, that's the clock. That means time is up, right? So I'm like, you know, or this is a designated time or whatever, 12. So I said, okay. So then I thought about it today. This month marks the 12th year I've been in this house. And this is when God wants me to make the transition out of here. I said, Jesus, you are wonderful. It's been exactly, I think, I don't even know the day. It might have been this week or so. I've moved into this house 12 years ago. And now it's time to go. I said, right before I came on this live, God was saying, you know, when did you move here? Like 2012, March 2012. He said, what's today? He said, so now, you know, if you don't ever, well, I already got confirmation. I'm already making moves and stuff where I need to do. 12 years. I know I'm supposed to be out of here. He warned me 2 years ago, a year ago, right? But now it's the perfect timing. He said, okay, now you need to leave this rehabilitation space. But I just wanted to let you guys know that this rehab space, if I didn't have this space, I don't know where I would be in God. I don't know how I would operate in purpose the way how he wants me to. If I forgo this transformation, this deliverance, this healing, it was 12 years. Right? And I know some of, you know, the guy told you up front that it was going to take 12 years for you to get where he wants you. Some of y'all be like, that takes too long, Jesus. I need something shorter. Right? You would be telling God that. I need something shorter. That's taking too long. But I can honestly say that process didn't feel like it was that long. The years went by so quick walking with God. Healing with God, transforming with God, being molded by God. You know, I just thank God that I was obedient into the steps, right? Because I wanted him, right? So that's all that I had for you guys. I just wanted to really just point out the importance of that. And I almost called this the middle ground or the middle space or the in-between. Because a lot of us are in an in-between space and it's confusing and it seems like God is not moving or what are you doing? Did I do something wrong? And, you know, but you promised me this, but it's not happening this way. You know, you just have to be still, you know, and rely on God to be God and to know that you love him is to know that he's directing you. But you just have to make sure that you are obedient when he tells you to go. Like as far as not leaving the rehab space per se, but moving throughout the rehab process, making sure you're doing the testing, you're doing the task, you're doing it because it's not just about doing it. It's making you better. It's molding you for what he has for you. He's molding you to be this person that the world needs. There's a group of people waiting on y'all, right? There's a multitude of people waiting on you guys to step into what he has told you to step into, because it's not about us at the end of the day. It's not about us, but he needs a vessel to do the work he wants us to do, right? So look, the weight is off, because look, I was carrying this yesterday. I should have did it yesterday, but like I said, I was tired and, you know, pray for me. It's just such a fight sometimes to just do it. And then it seems like when Monday has come along, It gets harder now to get on there, to get on here, right? Not that it's like, I don't know. It's always something. But anyways, thank you guys for tuning in. And I also wanted to, of course, I have to do the plan of salvation, because if I'm a representation of God, I'm talking about God. I want people on here that are watching the replay to get him. Right? Because if we talking about God and we offering him, what are we doing? Right? I should make that on the shirt, because I say it all the time. If you talking about God and you ain't trying to have me get it, what am I doing? Right? So Romans 10:9 states that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. That's it. That's the plan. You know, and even for those that you feel like you've gotten so far away, right, from God, you have, you know, just backslid all the way back. just say this. Go to Romans 10 and 9, you know, and rededicate yourself back to Christ, right? He wants you back. He wants you back. He wants all of his children back. So you can turn away. You don't have to wait till Sunday. You don't have to wait till a Bible study. You can confess this now. If Christ is what you want right now, and you're in a place in life where you're just like, I'm tired. I don't know what to do. Lord, I want to try you. That's what you just have to say. You know, Lord, I believe you. You rose on the third day. I believe you died for my sins. Come into my heart. Change and transform me. God will do it. And it's not immediate, right? But you have to press. You have to keep on seeking God. And it's not necessarily to get to that goal faster. It's to get to know him deeper. So it's not to get to a purpose or to get to a place or to get money, right? Faster. It's to get to know him deeper because he's your creator, right? You want to know who created you, who made you. You'll fall in love with him. The more that you know, the more you'll fall in love with them. So go find a church, be led, let them teach, you know, make sure they teach the Bible. They administer the Holy Spirit, right? And then just sit under and just be, you know, learn more of God, right? Because like I've explained all the time, there's someone that I was watching something where this person got saved and immediately they went to Google and ended up in some more demonic stuff, right? Because they know they wanted Christ, but they didn't know, you know, they were being gullible to other false doctrines or false things that were out there that led them more into divination and all of this. So they came out of witchcraft and they go into more witchcraft. So, you know, find you a church, like I said, that ministers the Holy Spirit, that teaches the word, right? Not give a bunch of gimmicks and all this other stuff, that really teaches the word and encourages you to read the word, right? So anyway, that's all that I have. I hope you guys have a good day. And I'm just going to really try to just be on here Mondays like I'm supposed to and not just be like, oh, I'm going to do it tomorrow, right? I got to be consistent and keep it up, all right? So thank you guys for tuning in. And I will hopefully see you guys next week. All right. Bye-bye.